Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everyone, and I'm Dr. Joanne White, and I'm really happy to be with you today because we're really going to cover something that not too many people are familiar with, and that's the millennial generation. And if we poll some people on the street, they would say, what? Who? And today we're really going to take a look at that and examine that with a millennial expert. So who are they? Firstly, the millennials are more than 78 million strong in the United States, and they are those folks born between 1980 and 2000, and they have become and are fast becoming the most influential generation in America. So employees and everyone, we really need to take note of this because this is important. So who are they? They are interested in feedback, they are very socially minded, they are technologically savvy, and so much more, but I'm not the expert here. I'm just the one that's done some research, and I'm still coming up with a lot of different views that I just talked about with Chelsea Cross. Sorry about that. And basically, she is the expert, so we're really going to set the record straight today. So she is, like I said, a millennial expert. And millennials have been born into a whirlwind of economic uncertainty, global strife, and relentless change. And that's not the challenges that they created, but as I said, they're a group of tech-savvy young adults that are going to be counted upon to help provide new energy and a new vision, hopefully to help change the world that they inherited for the better. Empowering millennials to make their voices heard is the passion of 21-year-old Chelsea, writer, producer, and TV and radio host. As the voice of her generation, Chelsea has appeared on Anderson with Anderson Cooper, The Today Show, The Tyra Banks Show, Good Day New York, and many other top media outlets from New York to Florida to California, all over the United States. As a guest expert or guestpert and broadcast journalist, she creates webisodes for her website and covers relevant, cutting-edge stories for CBS, Fox, and ABC News affiliates and other media. Chelsea is also a regular contributor to The Daily Buzz and Life, Love, and Shopping. So, Chelsea, it's a pleasure to have you.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
It's really great. And before we started, I was reading something to you that I thought was very disparaging to your generation. And it said that millennials need to be on the phone out of insecurity. And presumably this is self-reported. I have to do more research on this. But they insist on maintaining unbroken verbal contact with their mothers and fathers from early morning until nighttime, requiring as many as 18 hours of reassurance and validation via telephone each day. Let's refute that right now.
It's such a wordy situation, first of all. And, you know, here's the thing. Many people, like you said, don't really understand what a millennial is. And it's so funny to me because it's, you know, what's a baby boomer? What's a Gen Xer? What's a Great Depression baby? You know, it's just the bracket that our period of birth is coined as. And, you know, it's interesting that people are finding it so hard to get in tune with the millennial generation. And I think that really has to do with the amount of media that is focused on the millennial generation. It's the amount of language that we hear regarding this new generation, and it's the amount of social media outlets that get to slant the millennial generation in every which way possible. So it's kind of like if you have a media platform, you get to formulate your own opinion on the millennial generation and then talk about it. And I think that there's so much out there that it's hard to filter what's right or what's true or what you believe is the millennial generation. As a millennial, I believe that the millennial generation is one of the most complex generations thus far, just because of the amount of technology that we do have. I think that it, you know, definitely makes our generation so all over the spectrum. And what I mean is, you know, I'm sure you've heard that the millennial generation is the most entitled generation thus far. And,
definitely.
You know, can you blame us when we've grown up with instant gratification? You know, think about it. We want to send someone a message. We have 10 million different ways to send them a message. And if that person doesn't answer within the hour, they're, like, either kidnapped or dead. And it's horrible, but it's true. It's because, you know, if you can't reach them via phone call, then you're going to text them, you're going to email them, you're going to Facebook message them, you're going to tweet them, you're going to BBM them. There's too many things to do. So I think the fact that we are so submersed in this culture with instant gratification, I mean, that, you know, technology, it allows you to take a picture and post it right away, allows you to instantly watch a clip of, like, the Super Bowl, for instance, on YouTube if you missed it. We're so spoiled in a sense that we don't have to wait for things. And I think that's what makes us entitled. However, I think that there are the millennials, but there's people within every generation like this. There are the people that sit on the couch and expect for the world to be delivered to them on a silver platter. And there are those millennials who are so philanthropic, who are so eager to give back to their community, and who are so passionate about voicing their millennial voice and creating change within their community. So I think that it depends.
Let's talk
where
about
you're
that. Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit, because I believe that there are many millennials who are really interested in giving back to the community, and they're not just doing it in isolation. Your generation, again, from what I've read, likes to do things by forming groups and teams, as you just said. So what are some of the projects that you're familiar with and the emphasis on giving back that you're aware of?
You know, there's so many organizations that I would love to rattle off because they deserve to get the limelight. You know, one of the reasons why I started a radio talk show at 16 years old was because I thought that there was no millennial platform to highlight the things that are really important. Okay, it's fun to, you know, watch Jersey Shore and watch The Real World and, you know, gossip about celebrities, but that's not what makes the world go round. There are people who are really creating a difference, and that's why I thought it was so important to create a platform to make that happen. So over the past 6 years, I've come across so many millennials who are absolutely outstanding. And for instance, tonight on my radio talk show, The Chelsea Cross Show, I'm featuring a girl named Jessica Ekstrom. And she is in her early 20s. She's a student at North Carolina University. And she started a program called Headbands of Hope. And so what her organization does is they make beautiful, beautiful headbands, and they deliver them to cancer patients who have lost their home, lost their hair, and to make them feel beautiful.
That's fantastic.
And she's absolutely incredible. It's headbandsofhope.org. You can find more information on my website, chelseacross.com. But, I mean, there are countless of organizations similar to Jessica's, whether it's anti-bullying, you know, pro-self-esteem, anti-cyberbullying, giving back to cancer patients. You know, I know so many friends of mine who have done clothing and flip-flop drives for young children overseas. I know more good people than bad people in my generation, and I don't know if it's because I choose to surround myself with those people, but those are the people that come into my world, and it frustrates me when the millennials are bracketed as one group and one being, because we're so complex. Like you said, we're 78 million strong. There are going to be the weaklings, and there are going to be the awesome ones.
You know, that's true of every generation in terms of their, like you said, there are going to be people who are making a difference. There are going to be people who are couch potatoes, and there are going to be people who care so passionately about the world and making positive changes, and some who could care less. So how do we bridge this generation gap? Because it seems as though for some reason, I mean, there was a time where the generation gap between other generations and boomers, baby boomers, was so vast they couldn't understand that generation. They thought they were out to lunch. They even said the same thing about that generation too, that they were very totally immersed in themselves, even though they wanted to make changes and whatever. So how can people, firstly, how can we bridge the generation gap? What are some suggestions that you have?
Well, think about it. Think about how diverse and dynamic and confident my generation is to speak out on behalf of things that were more taboo generations prior. We're talking about gay marriage. We're talking about gay couples in general, whether it's transgender, bisexual, homosexual, you know, whether you're a lesbian, whether you're gay. There are so many things that are not taboo, that's just for an example, that we're talking about during this generation. You know, I'm an advocate for the Generation No campaign, which is for you by Kotex, and this is to break down the barriers of girls being scared to talk about their periods and menstruation. And, you know, you think generations prior, moms and grandmothers did not want to have that conversation about what menstruation was, let alone teach their daughter how to use a tampon. So, you know, these are the types of conversations that millennials are voicing out about and feeling empowered enough to generate this conversation amongst their peers. So, of course, this is creating some sort of barrier between generations prior who are still uncomfortable with the concept of gay marriage and talking about menstruation and talking about sexual intercourse, you know? Or even talking about drugs and alcohol. People don't even want to have the safe sex talk or do you know the repercussions of trying marijuana. People don't want to have those conversations. However, those conversations are what generate the information for the millennial to make the decision. Okay, you know what,
it's interesting because the same thing is true, not just in terms of young women and menstruation or whatever, but for many generations, as women reached a certain age, like menopause, there was a reluctancy for people to want to talk about that and to put that out in the open. And what baby boomers had to do was sort of kind of go through those barriers and make it okay for people to have conversations. So it's interesting because I think it's important to note that I really believe that that's the job of generations coming up, to break through all those resistances, right? And to allow for free expression of what's really important to that generation. And also, as it's important to that generation, it's really important to all of us. So again, how do we begin to bridge this gap? What are some of the suggestions?
You know, in order to bridge the gap, you have parents and grandparents, because I always like to include the grandparents, because I know that my grandma and I, actually both my grandmas and I, have talked about boys, we've talked about sex, we've talked about drugs, we've talked about alcohol, and there's no reason that, you know, that can't happen amongst every family dynamic. And how you bridge that generation gap is, you know, I'm really talking to the Gen Xers and the baby boomers right now. You have to just accept what this generation's living with. You know, we're living with social media. We're living with this fast-paced society. And instead of saying all the negative things about it, like, you know, we're entitled and we're spoiled, you know, why not get involved in the generation? Why not try to actually form a Facebook account or a Twitter account and learn from yourself firsthand what all the hoopla is about. And then you have some sort of conversation to generate with your children and your grandchildren. You know, teach me about Facebook. Teach me about Twitter. Really, what is the benefit to it? What do you use it for? Do you use it for social purposes? Do you use it for networking purposes? You know, try to create dialogue about what the millennials are talking about today. Instead of removing yourself from it and just, you know, saying all these negative things about it. Does that make sense?
I think that's very important. I think that a lot of the other generations are, whether inept or what, are trying to do that and do seeking help. I had a conversation with somebody the other day who actually said, I'm finding out what my son is doing by looking at his Facebook page because he's not telling me. But she's responding to it that way. And first she was hurt about it, thinking, well, I'm being left out. But really not, because when she was having the conversation with him on Facebook, he was ready to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But he didn't need to do it through a different a different avenue.
You know, and it's so interesting how parents seem to look at Facebook as like a snooping mechanism and not a bonding mechanism. Like, I'm going to go on Facebook and see what my children are up to. But it's like, again, that just means that the parent is having is scared of having a conversation face-to-face. Sit your child down and have a conversation about life, what's going on. It's like, you know, parents have to be, honestly, if your child's 18 years old and, you know, you're having problems forming dialogue, then it's probably because of, you know, previous interaction throughout his whole life that's led you up to this point. You know, I always say it's so important for parents to start young. You know, when your child is 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, you should be talking to them all the time. You should be asking them questions. You should be teaching them things. You should be teaching them conversational skills. Because
I totally agree, but I want to interject something, because I was at a Thanksgiving event, and there are so many at this event. There are like every generation imaginable at this event, okay? And yes, there was dialogue, which was important, but often everybody was looking at their smartphones. And so where was the dialogue? The dialogue was more around what was going on the smartphone and what was going on. So it was very difficult to have that conversation. And there was one point, Chelsea, that we said, okay, stop.
Everyone put the phones away.
Right, put the phones away, put the iPads away. Let's really kind of focus on one another. We're here from all over the country, and it's time to really relate. So I don't know that it's just one generation's fault. I think some of that is also because of the technology that's so much built into
100%.
How we, right?
100%. So think about it. A child isn't born and doesn't grow up without being taught social skills. It's a learned behavior. So what I'm just saying, for to bridge that generation gap, it's really the responsibility of the parent to formulate those conversation skills at a younger age, so that as the child continues to grow up, and of course, dips their hand into all the social media sites and has a smartphone and learns how to text, they still have those strong communication skills where they can carry a conversation face to face.
I totally agree with that. I think that's really important.
And I've seen it so many times. I've seen, my parents, for instance, my parents are my best friends. And that's because at a young age, my mom was having grown-up conversations with me. She wasn't teaching me she wasn't treating me like I was, beneath her just because of my age. Her and I would go to lunch, and she would talk to me about real issues and things that were going on in the world. And, she exposed me to things that some people would say were inappropriate. But, I remember a conversation about my parents talking about marijuana with me, and I remember with them talking about alcohol with me. My parents said, the first time that you get drunk, we want to be with you just in case anything bad happens. So my parents were so raw and real that my brother and I never felt the need to have to sneak behind their back.
Well, they were very wise. They were very wise, Chelsea, because they knew that most kids are going to experiment anyway.
Exactly.
And they wanted to make sure that you guys were safe, and they wanted to make sure that they could help out. So
every kid, and for the parents that think my kid would never do that, then those kids are probably doing it the most. And that's
probably
the reality.
So.
And for those parents who were so, hush-hush with my friends about, the things that you don't want your children to do, all of those friends were experimenting the most, and all of the parents that were very open with the friends of mine, they were similar to me. They just really didn't care, you know, because it's like the forbidden fruit. So you have to have this open conversation with your children, even though it may be a little uncomfortable. It's really going to be worth it in the long run, and that's the most blunt way of how, and the only way to how to bridge the generation gap.
Now, I want to move into a different direction a little bit, because many millennials are graduating school and have huge debt, college debt. And presumably there was another study that I looked at that said that millennials are so stressed out. And again, you know, there's a lot going on that they inherited that they're living in. I mean, just rates of living, standard of living have gone up dramatically. And like I said, the debt. So do you believe that your generation is more stressed than others? And
Oh, yeah. 100%. 100%. I think that in years from now, or maybe not even years from now, we're going to start, there's going to be statistics and studies in relation to the mentality and the stress level of the people going through the Great Depression versus now. Because I think we're in an economic crisis very similar to the Great Depression. Some of us are, you know, living off food stamps and living off the government, and a lot of us are not in a great position when it comes to college debt. So many of my friends are not going to grad school because they just don't have the finances right now.
Well, not only that, not only that, I have clients who can't move into the, you know, can't have independent living because of the debt that they have, and they have to live at home and make choices that they probably wouldn't want to, but that's, but they're limited because of economic factors. So what could we do?
Oh, absolutely.
What could we do to help alleviate some of this stress? Not necessarily you guys, but how could we help? How could other generations help?
That's the golden question. That is such a great question that I wish there was a legitimate answer for, because in reality, the stress relief of college debt and the stress relief of how competitive and how limited the job market is right now isn't going to help, you know, isn't going to benefit from just generations, you know, trying to get involved. It's a financial issue that our government is in right now and our economy is in right now. And until that financial situation just becomes, you know, less of a, of an issue, and the job market continues to get, you know, there's more availability out there, there is no way to, you know, stress out less. What generations prior can do, like if you're a parent, is not make your child feel bad about living at home. You know, don't make them feel bad if they can't find a job right away. You know, use your contacts as a parent and that through your career moves that you've done to try to network your child into. Really teach your children proper networking skills, because a lot of millennials do not know how to network. They do not know how to represent themselves. Expose your children to the different job sites out there, like ResumeBear.com and CareerBuilder.com and Monster.com. And if you don't see that your child's motivated in researching the availabilities of what is out there, then push them to do so, but not in a point your finger in their face way, in a let's sit down and do this together type of way. And,
so to do it,
you know,
to do it more collaboratively, so that you're more of a support system rather than the critic. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you getting out of it? Right.
You know, and it's because, you know, and a lot of us who may feel like they're frozen when college comes to an end, I think it's because it's, you know, we're really on our own now, in a sense that it's up to us to find a job. It's up to us to do the interview. It's up to us to then get ourselves to the job every day. And then, you know, that's it for the rest of your life. So if we're not taught these, you know, job skills, because you know what? I'm so frustrated with high school and college. You know, we don't learn how to go about really writing a resume or balancing a checkbook or interview skills. Those are social skills that we're supposed to develop on our own. And,
you know,
where a parent can really come and help.
Right. And I totally agree with you about that, and because I think that, our schools, yes, we should be teaching academics, but there and social interaction, but there's also a need to teach. I mean, I was appalled, like you, that what wasn't being taught in schools was even being able to outline and like you said, write a resume. So that's something that really should be addressed. We need to take to do that.
Absolutely. And those are the types of skills that a parent can definitely help with and make your child feel more comfortable doing in the real world. So, you know, those types of stress relievers or really great learning lessons could come from the aunt, uncle, parent, big sister, grandparent. But those are the types of things that you could definitely relieve the stress from.
So we're talking to Chelsea Cross, and we're talking about the millennial generation, and the number is 805-285-9790. You know, we were talking a little bit, Chelsea, about just the challenge in terms of the limited job market. And some studies I've been reading lately that are not just for millennials but also for many people is that because there seems to be such a sparsity of jobs and so many people from all generations who are interested in and who need employment, many, many people are now actually becoming entrepreneurs and creating their own businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see that happening, and how do you see that happening in your generation?
You know, I think that the millennial generation is also very innovative and inventive and smart if they tap into, you know, that savvy ability. And I think that millennials realize that in this circumstance that we're in, we have to make our own magic. And so that means really tapping into a niche and running with it and developing it. So many people are, you know, really investing their times in small businesses and startup companies and hoping that they blossom, because there are so many sites and social media sites to really market yourself and advertise yourself and help grow your brand or your product or your message, whatever it may be, and try to gain a following. And, you know, there are so many fabulous sites. I mean, my favorite one in the world is Twitter. That, you know, if you have a good following because you're producing good content, then you can really start to develop your own small business. And that's really been my story. I mean, of course, I've had extraordinary opportunities that have been given to me that have allowed me to even grow my platform to the next level. However, you know, it all started with a local AM radio show that I continued to push and push and push and network and, you know, pitch myself for different events and creating my own brand as Chelsea Cross, you know, a millennial spokesperson. So a lot of millennials are tapping into this idea because they're saying to themselves, there aren't many opportunities out there for me, so I'm going to create my own opportunity. And yes, there are many oversaturated niches, like there are so many personal trainers out there producing their own workout videos, and there are so many food bloggers, and there's so many fashion bloggers. But, you know, you still got to beat to your own drum and follow your passion, and throughout that niche that you're trying to create, network, because you may meet that one magazine editor or that one photographer that has that job opening for you to fall into. So it's really all about the networking.
Well, I think that's important, and I think that's important for all generations. I like what you said, that it's about making our own magic. That's a great tagline.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you use that. So you and I were talking again earlier on about your show, this new show. So can you talk about that a little bit? I'm excited for you. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so excited, too. I'm also pinching myself because it's been 6 years of very hard work and persistence and trying to grow, you know, my voice and my brand. And the Chelsea Cross Show, which is on radio, also Blog Talk Radio, has been picked up by WMCN, which is an independent market force station out of New Jersey. And they reach New Jersey, some areas of New York, Philadelphia, and also the Maryland area. And so they reach about 3 million homes, And Time Warner Cable here in Manhattan, which is another 8 million homes, picked up the show as well. So it's just the beginning of where the Chelsea Cross show is really going to air. And it's going to air in spring. I don't want to give out an exact air date because there's so much production going on right now. So just stay tuned to ChelseaCross.com because I will be giving out that exact air date once it's locked in. But the Chelsea Cross Show is really going to be such a great tool to further this conversation, honestly, because I want to bring really incredible experts, celebrities, organizations, and hot topics to light from a millennial's perspective, make it so much fun to listen to and so educational with each show so that you walk away enjoying yourself and also learning a lot. And I think it's going to be unlike anything on television right now.
I love it. Sounds great. So tell people, Chelsea, how they can get a hold of you once again, because we're kind of coming down to the wire here.
Yes.
In terms of time.
You can, if you remember Chelsea Cross, it will be very easy to find either my website, which is ChelseaCross.com, my Twitter, which is at Chelsea Cross, and my Facebook page, which is Chelsea Cross fan page. So it is very easy, Chelsea, C-H-E-L-S-E-A, K-R-O-S-E-A. And I'm very interactive on Twitter, so for anybody listening, if you want to just tweet me that you're listening to me on the show right now, I will try to, you know, interact with you right away, and always giving up my what's coming up, you know, whether it's a media moment, a radio talk show, or, you know, when the episodes of my show is going to finally air. So there's really a lot of great content that comes through my social media platform, and I'm pretty easy to get a hold of. So, you know, tweet me at Twitter, Chelsea Cross.
I think that's great. And Chelsea, what give our listeners a little bit of some parting words in terms of, again, how to have generations really work together to kind of change what not only you inherited, but many generations inherited, to really make this a better intergenerational place to live. What would you suggest as a closing?
You know,
note?
I think that, you know, this is in regard to every generation, because we're presently all living in the same time right now, whether we think it's a millennial world or, you know, you're an outcast living in today's world. I think the best mindset is to really, you know, surround yourself with the best group of people, like a great support system. Because honestly, I was a victim of bullying. I was a victim of cyberbullying. I was a victim of having my self-esteem ripped out of my chest. I mean, I was really put down. And, you know, a lot of people find that so hard to believe because I've always been such a positive, upbeat person. But I learned so much from my bullies, and I learned so much from the people who tore me down and used it as strength every day to keep going and pursuing my dream and my passion. And I think the most important thing in a time like today, where, you know, the economy is not so great and the job market is not so great and college debt is too high, having those people who are a great support system and believe in you and support you around you will give you that feeling like you two are invincible. And I think that is, like, the biggest message that I have for people trying to find their voice, their niche, their passion. Surround yourself with good people. Surround yourself with smart people. Ask people questions. And don't be scared to, you know, try something new. Because especially if you are, it doesn't even matter what age, you have to go through life loving every day. And, you know, every day that you wake up hating yourself or hating what you do is too much time wasted. And with that support system, it's only going to help you grow, you know, to do the things that you want to do.
And like you said, I think that's great. And again, Chelsea, I think that's information and very important, not just for your generation, but for all generations. It's important to embrace your passion. It's important to wake up with taking, you know, the glass is more full than empty. Find positive ways to really feel good about yourself and about what you're doing. Connect with other people. Like you said, really create that strong social network, that strong foundation of people who support you, who understand you, who get you, and who want to be cheerleaders for you and vice versa. So, Chelsea, I think you've really helped enlighten our listening audience as to what your generation is, and I think it's a very hopeful sign that there's somebody like you who's actually spreading that word and really interviewing people who of your generation and really helping to set the record straight. So thank you so much for being such a valuable guest.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Have a
great day.
You too. Bye-bye. Take care.
Bye-bye.
So, folks, again, it's so important to really decide that no matter what you're doing, you need to make sure that you're doing your best, that you're seeking out ways to actually better yourself, as Chelsea and I were talking about earlier, that it's also important to make sure that you are connected and to really find out what you do well, what your passion is, and don't let people deter you. I often say in my seminars and when I'm coaching people that it's important to remember to present those new ideas and new topics and new areas and ventures and opportunities that you're looking to get engaged in or involved in, to do that with the people that you know are not going to be the naysayers, with the people who are there to support you and are there to actually kind of be the source of inspiration for you as well. So remember that. And remember that it's really time not to alienate generations. I think it's so important, not only in terms of generations, but also in terms of the climate of where we're living, in terms of the world, to really find ways to bridge that gap and to find ways to really, as Chelsea and I were talking, communicate, learn about one another, kind of move past the differences and embrace the similarities and embrace ways that we can work cooperatively together and collectively to really make a difference and to bring in change. And next week, we're shifting gears. For those of you who are interested in marriage and are interested in events, we have a wonderful expert, Samantha Goldberg, and she's going to talk about weddings at every age. It's so interesting. We're talking today about the millennial generation, and it's another statistic that many baby boomers who are up there in their 50s and 60s are looking to get remarried, and many people are saying, well, that's ridiculous. Why would you do that at your age? But really, there is a large market for that, and basically, we're going to talk about that. So don't think that you're too old to get hitched. And not only is Samantha Goldberg a wedding planner, but she's also a sought-after celebrity event planner. She's going to help us really see the light to all of that. And then coming up in March, we have a wonderful new shift here in terms of a lot of different people. So tune in next week, next Wednesday, February 27th. And find out more about event planning and wedding planning from somebody, Samantha, known as Sammy, who does that for the stars. So what I want you to do now is just take a breath and just embrace the day. Embrace who you are. Think about all the wondrous opportunities that are within your mind, all the wondrous aspects of you that are yet to unfold regardless of your age. And remember to find ways to celebrate you. When I send out birthday cards, I always say to people, today is the day to celebrate you, to celebrate your birth, because there is no one like you anywhere in the world. And if you don't present that, no one else will. If you're interested in finding out more about me, my articles, and upcoming events, go to drjoannewhite.com, and that's Joanne with an E, and also check out my other programs, and we'll see you next week. Have a blessed day and a blessed week, and thanks so much for being a part of my world today.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the Upbeat Show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting DivaToolbox.com and BlogTalkRadio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.